The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Chris Carlin, Bart Scott in for Max today. The Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Double duty for 57. What is up?
Well, you know, I was late today, you know, dealing with New York traffic, of course, so they gave me detention, told me I had to stay. But Max, I said, guess what? That's what I wanted any damn way. Ha ha, you welcome.
You gave me a little rock right there. It doesn't matter what you want me to do.
Well, you know, I'm like A-Rod, man. Listen, I know Edwards haven't heard of A-Rod, but you know what I'm saying? I know A-Rod, and I remember this is the only man that ever kissed himself on a magazine. Guess what? I love myself even more than A-Rod loves him, and that's hard to say.
Hey, I don't know if that's possible. Oh, so much to get to today, and we're going to start NFL draft with Justin Fields' second pro day today. The 49ers, the Falcons, the Patriots all in attendance. And Bart, I'm fascinated by how this quarterback process has played out over the past few weeks. And, you know, look, nobody truly falls in the NFL draft until it actually happens on draft day. But somebody has to explain to me why Justin Fields is now in most mock drafts sliding out of the top 10. I know there can be so much lip service to this and, you know, people trying to plant things, hoping somebody falls. But Bart, I mean, I just don't get it. This is somebody that was absolutely lights out for his 2 years at Ohio State. Maybe had one or two bad games, was amazing in the Clemson game, and now all of a sudden other guys are jumping up in front of him.
Hey, yo, we've seen this movie before, right? We've seen the criticism that Lamar Jackson got. We've seen that, you know, Mahomes, my homeboy, drop. We saw Deshaun Watson, even after winning a title at Clemson, drop. So listen, it may not be the worst thing for Justin Fields to drop because he puts himself in good company. And the more he drops, the better the situation it is, right? And what I love about this, if he does drop, it sets him up to be able to potentially go to Atlanta, where he have a array of weapons. Sorry, got a sunflower seed stuck in my throat.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Hey, when that happens,
that's not good.
but you also think he potentially can fall to New England. So I think for him, he can land in the right situation. And are we going to be telling the story of Justin Fields later in his career, saying how did they pass on this guy? We've been talking about, you know, Aaron Rodgers for the entire offseason, the beautiful mystery that is. Well, he's a guy that suffered, right? He's a guy that suffered on draft day. We remember the narrative of Lamar Jackson laying down on his shoulder. Remember Geno Smith? Well, he sucked anyway. That was the right decision, whoever, right, you know, passed on him. But, you know, we remember him having to come back the next day with the polo sweater, right? You know, the Jets should have knew he was a horrible quarterback when the sweater, his attire decision the next day, that lets you know he wasn't a good damn.
That's just bad instincts.
Yeah,
right,
that lets
there.
You know he wasn't a good decision maker to begin with. But I tell you what, so like, he drops. Matt Jones is the flavor of the month, flavor of the week. Zach Wilson, flavor of the week. You know, good luck. You know, how do you think Miami feels that they decided to draft Tua and then draft Justin Herbert last year? They missed out.
I look at a few things here. First of all, I feel like teams this year more than ever before, Bart, are talking themselves into quarterbacks. This league has gotten so quarterback desperate, and I know it's always been the most important position in professional sports, but it's like, even with this extra time, with not being able to get these guys in the building, it feels like more than ever before, they are breaking down these guys into every last little bit without even being able to get them in their building, and now you're forcing guys into the top five. I mean, there's the legit possibility that you could have 4 to 5 guys in the top 10 and 4 in the first 4 picks. And to me, when it was a one quarterback and everybody else draft not 4 months ago,
right,
that's utterly ridiculous that that's the case.
No, it is. And listen, that's just where we're at. Everybody that doesn't have a quarterback is in desperate need of the quarterback. But I believe that the draft starts at 4, right? When you think about the draft, like, it really starts at what the decision of what do you think Atlanta's going to do, or are they going to shop that pick? We saw the haul that San Francisco gave up to move up to that pick. You know, and San Francisco decides to take Mac Jones, and for some reason, Mac Jones, according to Chris Sims and all these experts and quarterback gurus, et cetera, all of a sudden believes that he potentially could be the best guy. Like, come on, man. Like, listen, you can sell me, sell me some oceanfront property in Idaho, too. Like, stop it, bro. Like, but some people fall for that. They fall for those flavor of the weeks. And what I believe is that it's easier to lie to guys now. And this is really going to test who has the best college scouting departments, right? Because you think about it, you have to have done your due diligence, not just this year, but the year before, to be able to find the hidden gems, because you don't know, because of the opt-outs, because of COVID, because of certain conferences decided not to play and they had different protocols, right? And just the uncertainty of the athlete. You know, just think about the big jump that Burrow made from one year to the next, from not knowing who he was to being the first overall pick, right? It's going to test the scouting department, a lot of these teams. And we know that all teams aren't created equally. They don't all put the same resource. They all don't have the same high percentage of winning when it comes to the draft and being able to evaluate talent. A lot of teams have to evaluate other people's talent to get them in through free agency. But if somebody, listen, we know it's a 42% success rate in the first round with top 10 quarterbacks. Two of these guys are going to be wrong, and it's going to cost them their job. And if Matt Jones is the quarterback and you gave up three first, it's not just that you're drafting Mac Jones. It's the fact that you gave up three first-round draft picks in the future to get him.
Yeah, and that's what I don't understand. And maybe it's just that with as much as in the league right now people want guys who are mobile, Mac Jones is the least mobile of anybody. So the 49ers don't want anybody. They want to be able to have a guy. I wouldn't say he's a statue, but I wouldn't say that he's
Kirk Cousins. And who's signing up to draft Kirk Cousins third overall? Who's signing up to take Matt Ryan? Ryan, now that the game has evolved, like, if you don't have a mobile quarterback, you know what I mean? It's like having a car with no radio. Like, yeah, it's cool, but, man, I wish I had a radio. Like, the car is cool. I enjoy it, but I wish I had a radio. So now you're saying that, hey, this guy doesn't possess the element that can help control the linebackers and the backside defensive end. Because if I have a non-mobile quarterback, I am not respecting him to keep the ball. And the one time that he keeps the ball, I give him a data boy. I hope you get out of bounds before I cave your chest in. But when you think about the fact that he doesn't possess that element, right now, if we were drafting the current starting quarterbacks in the league right now, outside of Tom Brady, when do we get to a pocket passer? Pure pocket passer. When do we get to that pick? Pick 20, right? It's 32 starting quarterbacks in the league. And, okay, Tom Brady, the ultimate statue, just so happened to be the GOAT, the greatest of all time, the best at what he does. But are you signing up to take – when does Kirk Cousins come off the board? When does Matt Ryan come off the board, right? Because you have to possess that element. And I don't understand how this guy is ascending so high, but this is the time for misinformation, and sometimes people buy that oceanfront property in Idaho.
Well, this is the Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott in for Max today. To Fields, I want to float this to you because I talked to some people before the show today who you would call talent evaluators. And, you know, guys around the league, guys around college programs as well. And one of them suggested the idea that one in particular familiar with Ohio State is like, well, maybe Dwayne Haskins isn't exactly helping Justin Fields right now. And that's not a fair comparison.
Okay, and Greg McElroy is helping Mac Jones?
But from a standpoint of this is a recent Ohio State quarterback that did absolutely nothing, and Ryan Day was the coach, maybe that perception isn't helping him. Now, Ryan Day is an outstanding quarterback coach. Outstanding. Okay. If that's the case, like, I guarantee this, I know this, I've heard this before, that there is no way that the folks at Ohio State felt like Dwayne Haskins should be coming out after year two, his first year as a starter. No way.
Cordero Jones, he's dead.
Cardale Jones, it didn't work out well. But I'm saying, if that whole thing is working against Justin Fields, I think that's wrong. Because this is a guy that has made a lot of throws. I mean, he ran a 4.43 at his pro day, his first one.
Everybody ran a 4.43, but okay, he's fast.
He's fast. He's not going to be Lamar Jackson, okay? But he's going to extend plays. Can we agree upon that?
Absolutely.
So to me, I don't understand why somebody who did it against a much higher level of competition for much longer is being seemingly penalized here, because float this.
He's being ripped apart.
Well, but what if Justin Fields had opted out this year? There are guys who opted out. Would Justin Fields still be the number two overall pick? He might be, because, you know, in 2019 it was 44 touchdowns and three picks, Bart.
I get it. That's Zach Wilson. That's Trey Lance type of numbers, right?
Yep.
He's good with the football. And, oh, he doesn't go through his progressions because, guess what? His first damn option is usually open. He got good players. Okay, like, okay, well, you're open. But
I have not heard
ahead.
People talk let me, about let me, Mac let me Jones's go. Progressions because he said Devontae Smith
right, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And Waddle. Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good, yeah, way to go. And listen, it's the narrative, man, and we always have to keep mind of the undercurrent that we know that is always the elephant in the room and how we break down quarterbacks and what the history of the position is. The fact that they said that black quarterbacks couldn't process information. Not saying that this is a black or white thing, but when you make the same, when you make it an excuses for one and you're breaking down the other one, I can't rock with that. Because you're telling me that, oh, Mac Jones, yeah, he's overthrowing his receivers at his pro day. I just wanted to show I had a strong arm. What?
Yeah.
Like, so that is applauded that he overthrew his receivers? Guess what? If I was Shanahan, I would have threw up in my mouth a little bit because I would have had a flashback. Oh, my God, Jimmy G. I would have had – listen, I lost a Super Bowl because I had a quarterback that showed his strong arm, but it wasn't accurate. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, get – like I said, I played with Kyle Bowler, man. He couldn't hit the ocean if we were on a cruise. You know what I'm saying? So listen, like, strong arms mean absolutely nothing. I want somebody that can play the position at a high level. And they, for the same argument that they make about Justin Fields, you can make about the logo. Because tell me the last, after Joe Namath, name me the next Alabama quarterback to have any type of success in the NFL.
Exactly. There was Stabler, there was Namath, and that was about it. And move on
I
from
love
there.
Greg McElroy. Yeah. He got me fired. We couldn't win no damn games with him. But you know what? Maybe it's time for us to kind of rethink this whole team, blow this up, start over. Damn, Greg! Appreciate you.
Well, I don't know if he got your foot injured either, though. I mean, did he do that? That wasn't his fault.
I'm not going to blame myself. You shouldn't think I'm going to point the finger at me.
Why would I ever do that?
You know what type of narcissist I am? I'm going to point it at somebody else. Can't take the damn blame myself. Greg, you knew. See, Greg knew he was going to go off and have a great career in TV, and he just wanted to hurry up and get there. But he didn't realize, he was taking me with him.
What do you think's more likely right now, Bart? That the Patriots, who have three people at this pro day for Fields and have had a couple others at the other pro day, whether they trade up for him or Fields actually slides out of the top 10, what's more likely?
I see, the draft starts at 3, man. If they take Mac Jones and you have Trey Lance there and you have Justin Fields there, I don't know if you're a quarterback that – if you're a guy that needs a quarterback, how you don't move up and get these guys. If you're the Broncos, you heard the Carolina Panthers. Like, it was funny, right? Sam Darnold, it was great to feel wanted. Like, Matt Rhule – do you guys rule out taking a quarterback? Not at all. Like, damn it. I just want to be loved if I'm Sam Darnold. But, you know, so that's a team that may take a quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater was like, see, told you, don't feel too good, does it? But, you know, when you think about what can happen, will Chicago's in desperation mode. Will Chicago go up and say, you know what, all that draft equity that we're willing to give up to try and get Deshaun Watson future picks and stuff like that, if I'm Matt Nagy and I'm Ryan Pace, I don't care what the future of this organization is. I'm trying to keep my damn job and secure my bag. So, hell, you know, we'll give up first and second. Now, it could be vetoed by the owner, but I would try it, saying, hey, because that's a team that's in their window to win a Super Bowl, right? And they can compete. They're a playoff team. Can a guy like Justin Fields late in the season come in and kind of be the heir apparent like Fitzmagic was and to Tua and come in and be able to create a spark and create a different dynamic to the offense? Maybe. Maybe not. But I think that somebody's going to have to move up. And if New England feels like, hey, Justin Fields is our guy, they're going to have to be aggressive. And, you know, Bill's going to have to do something that he's rarely done, and that's be aggressive in the draft and move up and not move back.
Let's hit it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on the NFL Draft. Bob in Tampa going to start us off today on the Max Kellerman Show. Bob, what's going on, bud? How are you?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Love listening to you. We've got two of the best chameleons on ESPN Radio. They can fill in on any of the shows and make them great. I just had a theory about not connecting the dots on college helmets. That, you know, nobody talks about Joe Burrow. Ask Cincinnati Bengals and ask every GM in the league if they're happy with Joe Burrow. Well, guess who went to school there and did not quite so well? Jamarcus Russell. Guess where Joe Burrow started before LSU? At Ohio State.
Yeah.
I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, guys. Well,
He didn't start at Ohio State.
Right.
But he was at Ohio State.
Right. It's the carousel, right? Because you look at Justin Fields, he was in Georgia. Right.
Yep.
So it's like all these things. Like with this transfer portal, guys go to places that are stacked and they don't want to wait their turn or they feel like they need a better opportunity and they transfer. You know, it's what does intrigue me, though, Chris, is the fact that Urban Meyer, you would think, has a direct line to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't given one iota, one second thought, seemingly, to maybe considering Justin Fields over Lawrence. So that tells me something, the fact that he hasn't even showed up. I don't know if it's an organizational decision, but, you know, how often is the number one overall pick the best quarterback in the draft?
Well, listen, Meyer didn't coach Fields. I think we got to keep that in mind. Like,
right.
he left the year before Fields got there. That's number one. And number two, it's pretty much been a foregone conclusion that Lawrence is going to be the guy for the last 2 years since he was basically a freshman. But I guess you said this before, and I'm curious as to what you think. The draft starts at 4.
Yeah.
So what happens at 4?
I don't know, man. Like, because it depends on what – listen, you know what's crazy? Sometimes owners fall in love with not only the player but the person. And yeah. Arthur Blank seems like he's in love with Matt Ryan. So if you look at Matt Ryan and what his numbers were, 4,500 yards last year, they lost more last-second games than any other team I've ever watched in one season. They lost at least 5 games by not just last possession, last play. You think about the onside kick – you know, destroying Dallas. They lost so many heartbreakers. I wonder if they want to run it back and say, hey, maybe Matty Ice, we don't have to address the tight end, quarterback position. We have a transcendent talent at tight end. And we have maybe, arguably, whenever you have a lineman that's considered to be like Anthony Munoz, how can you pass on that if you have a good quarterback that you feel like you can get something out of for the next 2 to 3 years, because Matt Ryan's only 35 years old. You think that Aaron Rodgers just won an MVP. He's about to be 38 if he's not already 38. So you're thinking, okay, maybe Matty Ice got 3 more years left in him. I extend him, get some salary space. We have Hayden Hurst. Could you imagine Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Hayden Hurst, who's a great pass-catching tight end that the Baltimore Ravens just couldn't find an opportunity to put him on the field because of the ascension of their type of Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews, yeah.
And then you put Pitts, who can be, he's a tight end, but if you look at his size and weight and speed, he's Calvin Johnson. So how could you not try and outscore people and give Matt Ryan those type of opportunities? Because Matt Ryan isn't a mobile quarterback. We discussed that early on in our comparison with Mac Jones. But if you're able to compare, get him with guys who can get open and create mismatches with 2 tight end sets. We just saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers dominate the league with Brady and Gronk, and now they'll have O.J. Juice, man. You see what Bill is doing in New England, trying to get this Gronk and Hernandez combination back with, you know, bringing in, you know, Hunter Henry and I forget the guy from Tennessee. So
Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith. So like maybe at 4 they decide to stay there or move back and say, okay, if you want a quarterback, don't lie to me. If you want a quarterback, I'll let you get your quarterback and get some future draft capital to kind of, you know, help Matty Ice out and replace some of those defensive players.
Eric in Georgia next on the Max Kellerman Show. Eric, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, guys. Hey, thanks for my call. Hey, I'm a Cowboys fan, and I see the Kyle Pitts thing as a want, really, with the Cowboys, not a need. But I am, you know, reading the lines a little bit. The Cowboys owe a lump sum of money to Amari next year, and Gallup being a free agent. What do you guys think about if the Cowboys do somehow get Pitts, letting Cooper walk and keeping Gallup? Or is Gallup possibly trade bait being his last year? Thanks
well,
for the call.
I think it's, first of all, it might be a want. It's certainly not a need, but it's likely going to be a can't have. I don't think they're getting him. He's not going to make it anywhere near 10. And I don't see the Cowboys trading up to get Pitts at this point, Bart. But, you know,
it could be game over if they do. I mean, you think about what Dak was able to do
to
last
move from
year.
10 to 5 or 10 to 4.
Or,
that's going to cost you a lot.
Or if Pitts falls. Pitts could, I mean, you know, you think Cincinnati can decide to say, I'm going with the lineman because I have to protect Joe Burrow. He's the franchise, and, you know, Anthony Munoz comparison. Hey, Anthony Munoz played for us here in Cincinnati. But if he's there, I definitely say, hey, I know he's not a need, he's a luxury piece, but when you have that type of transcendent talent, you got to get it.
Let's hit one more call real quick. Up next, it is Adrian in Buffalo next on the Max Kellerman Show. Adrian, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? So I'm a big Josh Allen fan, right? I'm a huge Bills fan. And so I see a guy like Trey Lance in the draft, and it really gives me the same vibes. I mean, you heard Allen give Lance some boost. Do you think Lance could have the Allen-type development and turn into a superstar in the NFL? Thanks for the call.
I've talked to people around North Dakota State and Lance the past couple of years who absolutely love him, but the one thing that's very clear is Trey Lance is not going to come in the league and play for a year and a half, 2 years. I mean, he's only played 17 career games in college, and there's an awful lot to be learned there.
That's why I thought he would be great at 12 for San Francisco at the original spot. Right, because he is a project. That's why I think he's great for Arthur Smith if they decide to get the heir apparent to Matt Ryan and allow Arthur Smith to be in Atlanta to be able to have his quarterback of the future that he's going to attach his caboose to.
Ooh, I like the way you put that. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
We all love
trains,
Chris. We all love trains.
Is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Hey, L.A., heck of a road win last night, but it's something you need to be worried about. First up, though, it's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run good in the ninth inning. All right, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. The Lakers have got a problem that they probably didn't consider. We discuss Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, in for Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Christine Lisi.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Lakers, last night, finish out the 7-game road trip with a win in Charlotte. A good one, to be sure. Andre Drummond, though, still can't find the basket with a GPS right now.
Combined,
7 points last 2 games. 2 for 7 last night.
When has he ever found it? Did y'all do y'all scouting report? Because as a D'Twoi fan, we know that's what he is. What he is a guy that can put the ball back, but he has very limited offensive skills. And if you want to run your offense through him, but what happens is because he's a star, because he's been to all-star games, you want to make the big fella happy, so you give him some isolations. He got a jump hook, and he can turn and shoot over his shoulder every once in a while. He has as good of a chance of hitting a basket as I do if you give it to me in the post in the NBA. You know, what you would need, like, he's always been a lovable guy, man. Like, you need to take Montrezl Harrell's heart out and put it in Drummond's chest. Then you'll have what you need. But the thing is, LeBron and Anthony Davis makes everybody better. So he'll be able to be the putback guy. He'll be the guy that can play strong defense and get rebounds for the extra possessions. But right now, he's just out of his element. You're asking him to do something that you won't ask him to do, because Montrezl Harrell is just too small to play center, and Gasol can't move, laterally. So you just want him to play good defense, put the ball back in the basket.
Ted, that's the worst offensively he's played in his career. But here's the quote that bothers me to that front, okay? Quote, I'm still trying to figure it out here. I'm not allowing it to take me out of my game. I know why I'm here, which is to help this team defensively. Offensively, it will come for me. All right, there's two problems here. The first one, let's talk about that offense. You get to the finals, and yeah, you'll have Anthony Davis back. But let's be clear that tendinosis is not something that is going to disappear. When you're playing through the rigors of the NBA playoffs, Andre Drummond is going to have to play a bigger role than people even realize right now. And I mean specifically on the offensive end, because if we're all going to make the assumption that the Lakers are going to be facing the Nets in the finals. Well, you're going to have to be able to beat them inside because the Nets are just absolutely abysmal defensively in the interior, and you have to be able to take advantage of that. And if you have a guy in Anthony Davis who's not at his, 42-minute-a-night level that he's used to playing at, or 38-minute-a-night that he's used to playing at, Andre Drummond's got to be an answer offensively.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, the only game he's done anything for the Lakers offensively so far was against the Nets, where he had 20.
Well, and the problem is, though, even when you go against the Nets, and I don't think that was a fair indication of how the Nets are and what it represents them as a team, when they're all whole, there's going to be so much spacing on the floor from an offensive standpoint. Like, what if they decide to play Kevin Durant at the five and just say, okay, listen, we know Drummond isn't a great offensive player, so then he'll be able to rest. He'll be able to rest against, on defense against Drummond, who really just clogs the lane up. He doesn't spread the floor for LeBron and Anthony Davis. They kind of operate the same spot. You want to take advantage of Anthony Davis on a low block, then where does Drummond go, right? So is he the one that's, doing the entry pass? Like, so it's like so many things. And, with me, when they made this move, I thought that Aldridge would have been a better player for them because he can be that Chris Webber high post and facilitating. I don't think that Drummond's a great passer, and I don't think he has a great basketball acumen. Now, listen, I'm not calling him a dummy, but I'm just saying his skills are limited to make the others around him better. He can help you with being able to be a big body and being able to get boards, but as far as being able to have any creativity outside, like I said, a jump hook and maybe every once in a while he'll drop step spin, like, he really doesn't have an offensive game, and he slows the ball down, right, because he's not a great passer out of the post to be able to find the shooters. And, quite frankly, the Lakers don't have a tremendous amount of shooters.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Part two, that problem is when he talks about the reason that he's there is defense. And I know that's been talked about ad nauseum. Bart, this is a false narrative. Andre Drummond is not
a great defensive player. Fake it till you make it.
He's been faking it a long time on the defensive end because I know what the defensive rating numbers have been, the defensive efficiency numbers have been. If you watch Andre Drummond play defense, he has got the skills to do it, but he is not somebody that is really going to want to bang and tough it out and really get after it defensively. And that's just not me. I mean, that's talking to people around the league. That's a feeling that's out there. And you mentioned the big body. I think that's what people get caught up in. I think that's what people get attracted to. But if you really look at him, he is not a great defensive player.
Well, they look at him from Detroit. They're looking at his numbers where he was a walking double-double, but he was one of the only few options. It's kind of like how Kevin Love, when he was in Minnesota, was just a stat. He was a stat stuffer, right? And who else was going to be able to get those attempts and who was going to get those balls and who get those shots? He did. So his stats look, better than what he probably was when you put him on a team. The problem is if you go against a team like the Nets that have tremendous shooting, he's going to be in space. So he's not a guy. He's been a great help defender, but you put him in space and he has to match up against Kevin Durant or even Aldridge. Aldridge can shoot the 18-footer, so he doesn't have the lateral quickness. Like, Drummond is he's like Christmas pass, right? Him, Dwight Howard, right? There's very few of them in a league like that. You look at Brooke Lopez and all those big guys, what they did, they were able to evolve their game. They were able to be able to learn how to shoot the three. He hasn't been able to do that, so he doesn't bring the same added value. He has the big body, but he can't help you on the offensive side of the court, and he can't really help you on the defensive side of the court because he's rarely going to go against a traditional big because there's not that many traditional bigs left in the league.
Meanwhile, Ben Simmons and getting ready for the Nets.
Kylie's boyfriend?
I'm sorry?
Kylie's boyfriend?
Yes. Kylie's boyfriend.
Oh, he got
still
dumped.
Or
my
not?
Bad. No, he got dumped. My bad.
They broke up, didn't they? Yeah, a long time ago. What am I saying?
What is it?
Is it
Kylie or Kid? What's Kendall and Kylie?
It's a Jenner. I know that.
A
Jenner.
But Kendall, one is one out of, like I said, nobody has ruined more careers, more athletic careers than the Kardashians, right? Like, they're like the curse. But it's like Kendall, I believe, is the only one that's like rubbing the oak log at the Apollo. Like, because if you look at Devin Booker, like, he's gotten better. But anyway, I digress. Sometimes I got ADD.
It was a Jenner. I knew that. And that was all I could tell you at the moment. But Ben Simmons actually talking some smack. We'll get on that. and moments. Plus, the Broncos, the Buccaneers, among other teams, the Seahawks, saying they're not reporting for off-season workouts. If he had the choice, would Bart Scott? We'll find out in moments. It's the NBA on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Nets visiting the Sixers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, and for Max Kellerman, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Ben Simmons letting somebody have it. You'll hear it next on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott in for Max today. It is time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And this Straight Talk comes courtesy of Ben Simmons of the Philadelphia 76ers on a potential rivalry developing with the Nets, who the Sixers host tonight.
There's one ball. There's one ball, and you have to play defense still. So, you know, I take pride in playing defense. I know, you know, if I'm able to get stops and you know, give guys a hard time doing their job, then, you know, we're going to be able to go further. They have a lot of talent. But at the same time, you got to play together as a team game.
Well, I'll agree and disagree in one respect, Bart. Number one, they don't have to play defense against a jump shot.
Exactly.
For you, Ben.
They sagging off. They all in the key. They playing zone. Like, ah, let them
no,
shoot.
They're not in the area code. It's not even zone. They take the possession off and go ahead and please, by all means, go ahead and shoot it.
Oh, who in foul trouble? Oh, go cover Ben. He ain't shooting.
But I will say this. Since they got James Harden.
Yes.
The Nets defensively are 25th in the league, defensive efficiency. Bart, there's only been one team in the last 25 years that has finished outside of the top 10 in defensive efficiency and won a championship.
Well, you know the Nets are
And that was the Lakers, who, by the way, did it in 2000-2001, and they were able to flip the switch and went 15-1 in the playoffs.
I mean, the Nets are coasting, right? We've seen James Harden and his attention to detail last year, right? Remember Houston? That was the narrative about Houston. And, you know, maybe not last year, but the year before. And they were able to bite down and play tremendous defense, right? So I think their defense is more about effort, but when they put in that much pressure on you offensively for you to try and keep up with them, then, I mean, I think that's all you need. Like, can you put up enough points? Can you stop them? Can you win the possessions? Because you can't turn the ball over against them. They have so many shooters, man. You think about Harris. You think about Brown. You think about the ability of their both all their three stars, Kyrie, KD, James, are all great shooters as well. It's so much space out there on the court. And then, you know, KD is like the unicorn. He can do whatever he wants. Like, how do you match up with him? And I can't wait to see what the lineups are when we get to the playoffs, what Nash is going to do with some of that personnel to put pressure on the opposing team. And I'm sure it depends on the matchup. I understand that Joel Embiid is like the one person that you can't, you know, defend because you can't match up with him. Now, that's, you know, reportedly probably why you even had DeAndre Jordan even still on the roster. But Ben Simmons is going to have to start getting – we've been waiting for Ben Simmons, and we talk about great players all the time being able to patch up the holes in their game. I've been waiting to see Ben Simmons attempt, not make – attempt more than 5 threes in a game. And he got a shooting sleeve, but he don't shoot. So I don't understand.
If you're into betting, you go on most sports books. The over-under on Ben Simmons' attempts from three in most games is 0.5. So they just want to see one attempt. And
point,
you can cash.
Point
a lot of
five.
Times you don't cash that ticket.
And that's the thing, right? He's a great player. And listen, if this would have been a great night. I don't know what the lineup is, who's in, who's out. But this would have been a great opportunity for him to show his defensive versatility, because I know he's in a running right now with Rudy Gobert about who's going to be the defensive player of the year. I know Joel Embiid wanted to try and be the defense player of the year as well, and he's been injured. So Ben Simmons is an outstanding defensive player. He just doesn't give you that superstar type of productivity on both sides of the court. And you hope that, you know, it's more, you want more from him. But Tobias Harris does make them a contender. The fact that, you know, Doc Rivers has been able to unlock him, much like he unlocked him when he was a member of the Los Angeles Clippers.
And here's the other thing. No Durant, no LaMarcus Aldridge, no Blake Griffin, and obviously no Harden tonight. Kyrie is going to be back for the Nets.
I don't know, man. Is any sage? Did he buy sage or the rose quartz? Because if the moon is, I think we're in the second moon. If we ain't in the right moon, Kyrie ain't playing, man.
I'm not even trying to figure that out anymore. But the one thing you can say is for the Nets right now, this is pretty much treating it like spring training, like it's your week out from the season, and you don't want a team that you're facing in the series opener or the season opener to see your pitching. So I'll go throw out a couple of other guys that they're not going to have to worry about and not give them an early preview of what we may have for them, especially since this is the last time these two teams play this year. Bart, one other thing I want to get to real quick. Broncos, Buccaneers, Seahawks, their players are all not reporting to voluntary off-season workouts, primarily because of COVID in this situation. How big of a deal is this?
I don't think it's a big deal because really most players actually get in better shape when they're with their trainers than when they're with the team, because whenever you in off-season conditioning or training, usually what you're doing is it's a program that's dedicated to getting a group in shape. It's not specific to what you have to improve on, specific to what you have to do. So as far as a shape standpoint, I agree with that. I think right now it's internal discussions with the NFL about how they can educate their players and get them to partake in the vaccine, which is a sensitive subject because they can't make them take it. But if you don't have guys that are vaccinated, you don't have over 70%, then I don't believe that you're allowed to be able to operate outside the protocol. So this is just the beginning, and I think this is out of caution. But eventually, I think if the teams that get vaccinated, they're going to have an added advantage because they're going to be able to practice and not have all the COVID restrictions that the NFL has put in place.
That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And they are doing some things to incentivize it, like you're seeing baseball do right now, where you can relax a lot of the restrictions if you have that percentage of players on the team that are vaccinated. So going to be interesting to see how that continues to play out as players in the league. We've seen it in baseball. A lot of these teams have started to buy in a little bit more than maybe they had earlier. And they're going to be looking for new players in the NFL draft later on this month. And there has been so much posturing publicly with the draft. We ask one of our experts how it's going to play out next. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.